This morning, we are looking at Psalm number 30, and this is a psalm of thanksgiving. One of the interesting things about the Psalms of Thanksgiving is that they really are a combination of a couple of different kinds of psalms that we see throughout the book of Psalms. Normally, when we think of psalms, we probably think of two kinds of psalms most often. One is we probably think, first of all, of hymns of praise. Just psalms of praising, exalting the Lord because of His greatness, His goodness. Then probably we're also very familiar through our reading of the Psalms of Psalms of Lament, where the psalmist is in discouragement. The psalmist is fearful. The psalmist is surrounded by enemies. He's having a difficult time. He's crying out to the Lord in the midst of his distress. One commentator had a really good way of thinking about psalms of hymns of praise and psalms of lament, and then looking at psalms of thanksgiving. He suggested that we think of psalms of hymns as orientation. That is, we are oriented toward God. He is our focus. And so in psalms of praise, we're just oriented toward God, giving praise to God. And then he said laments are like disorientation. The psalmist in Psalms of Laments, they're disillusioned. They're disoriented. They've lost their way. They're fearful. They're in the midst of trouble. They're crying out to God. And then he suggested for Psalms of Thanksgiving, like Psalm 30, is he says these are reorientation. These are reorientation. In other words, the psalmist has gone through a distress, has gone through a trouble, but now is reorienting his perspective towards God in hopefulness and praise. And so in a psalm of thanksgiving, like Psalm 30, you will find elements of lament, elements of a trouble, a discouragement that the psalmist has gone through. But now he is on the other side of that. Now he's beyond that. Now he is thanking God for his deliverance through that time of trouble. And so there's elements of lament, but now he's thanking God for his deliverance. He's reorienting his perspective to God. And what Psalm 30 is, really, it's a prayer of thanksgiving, and it's a prayer thanking God for answering a previous prayer. And as we go through Psalm 30, most people think that it is a psalm of thanksgiving for God delivering David, delivering the psalmist from sickness, from a very troublesome time. And so I want to read through this psalm together and then just reflect on it this morning as a psalm of thanksgiving. Verse number one, the psalmist David says, "I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever." Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we thank you, we praise you, that we can express our gratitude to you this Lord's Day. Lord, we ask that this psalm would be a time of reflection, meditation for us, as we think about what the psalmist went through, how you delivered him, and how he is responding to you in thanksgiving and praise. And Lord, this is intended to be a lesson to us, an encouragement to us, that even though we may go through troublesome times, that Lord, you are with us, and that you are forevermore worthy of our praise and thanks. So Lord, I pray that today you would teach us through your word, encourage us, give us hope in the midst of difficult times, in the midst of the world that we live in. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share with you 5 points from this psalm, and I'm going to phrase these points in the first person as if they're coming from David. And just to kind of give you an idea of really what this psalm is about. And I think as I do that, we can identify with David. We can identify with what David is going through. And so the first thing that David says really in this psalm is, "Help, I'm in trouble. Help, I'm in trouble." Okay, how many can identify with that statement? All right. At some point in your life, maybe today, your heart, even if you don't say it out loud, your heart is, "Help, Lord, I'm in trouble. I need your help." It could be a financial loss. It could be the loss of a job. It could be a sickness. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be discouragement from a friend who slighted you or said something hurtful to you. There's been times when we've been in trouble. We need God. We need his help. And Job was telling the truth in the book of Job when he says, "Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward." We're constantly in states of difficulty. We're constantly in states of distress. We're constantly in times of trouble. I want you to see the times of trouble that David mentions in this psalm. In verse number 1, he says, "I was in the depths, and my enemies were wanting to gloat over me." So that shows right there, he's in a time of distress and discouragement. He's in a time where he is weak, where he is frail, perhaps sick, and his enemies are laughing about that. His enemies are trying to use that as an opportunity to get at him. But he's in a time of difficulty. In verse number 1, he says, "I've got enemies." In verse number 3, he says, "Lord, I was about to go down to the realm of the dead, to the pit." In verse number 2, he says, "Lord, you healed me," which suggests maybe he was in sickness. In verse number 5, he talks about the Lord's anger. He talks about his weeping, and he says that he was weeping, but it only lasts for the night. Then joy comes, joy follows in the morning. So he was in a time of lament, a time of weeping. In verse number 11, he mentions wailing before he says the Lord turned it into dancing. And so whatever situation he was in, maybe a physical illness, a sickness, maybe even to the point of death, maybe it was some other situation, but whatever it is, he was in trouble and he cried out, "Help, I'm in trouble." And there are times when we are in trouble as well. And we need to have the same response that the psalmist had. And that is, where do we go? We go to the Lord. We cry to the Lord for help. I want you to notice, secondly, in this psalm, that David suggests in the psalm, before the trouble came, I was proud and overconfident. Before the trouble came, I was proud and overconfident. Look at verse number 6. He said, "When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken." Well, yeah, when times are going good, that's your thought, isn't it? This is just going to keep on going. In good times, we don't often cry out to the Lord because things are going well. Things are going well, things are clicking along here smoothly, and David says, "I will never be shaken." When everything was going well, I was proud. I was overconfident. I was putting confidence in my flesh that I could handle everything that came my way. Are there times when in our lives we are overconfident in our own abilities? We're overconfident in how things are going to go, maybe presuming upon the future, that just because things are going well now, we presume upon the future and think that things are going to continue to go well. He said in verse 6, when I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. So this is speaking to the Lord's blessings on his life. When things were going well, Lord, when you were favoring me, everything was secure. Everything was firm. My royal mountain was standing firm. But then notice in verse 7, but when you hid your face, I was dismayed. Meaning that the Lord allowed some troublesome situation to enter into his life. And it rocked his world. It rocked his overconfidence, his pride in himself and in his own abilities. And so before the trouble came, I was proud and overconfident. But then the trouble did come. The sickness came. The distress came. The enemies gloating over me came. Then the trouble came. What did I do? I prayed to you in my distress. When the trouble came, I prayed to you in my distress. And I just want to pause here and reflect on the fact that sometimes God may bring trouble into your life so that he will bring you to this point. Before the trouble came, I was proud and overconfident. But when the trouble came, I cried out to you in my distress. Maybe sometimes God brings difficulties into our lives because we're overconfident in ourselves. Maybe we're presuming upon God. I'm not saying I know the mind of the Lord in every situation. I don't know why every trouble comes into our lives, but this may be one reason that maybe we're overconfident at times and God wants to bring us to our knees so that we will depend upon him and cry out to him. So David says, Lord, when the trouble came, I cried out to you. I prayed to you in my distress. You can see in verse number 2, he says, Lord, I called to you for help. In verse number 8, he says, Lord, I called, I cried out for mercy. In verse number 9, he says, basically, Lord, I'm making a request to you on behalf of your name, on behalf of your glory. He says, what is it gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? In other words, David is saying, what good is it if I'm dead? And he's thinking here just from an earthly perspective, just from a temporal, earthbound perspective. He is thinking, Lord, let me live so that my lips can go on praising you, go on sharing your glory. And so this was a request based on wanting to exalt and praise the name of God. But he cries out in distress. In verse number 10, he says, hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. He cries out to the Lord for help. So he was in trouble. Before the trouble came, everything was good. He was confident. He was proud. Everything was smooth. But then the trouble came, rocked his world. And then what did he do? He cried out in distress. He cried out to the Lord for mercy, which is exactly the place where he needed to go, which is exactly the place where we need to go in times of distress and trouble. Number 4, God, you heard my prayer and had mercy on me. God, you heard my prayer and had mercy on me. So the way the Psalm of Thanksgiving is set up, it assumes that there was some trouble that was in his life, and he prayed for God to rescue him from that trouble. Now he is reflecting back after that event, after God has heard his prayer, after God has come to his aid, and now he is expressing thankfulness to the Lord. And he's saying, Lord, you heard me. You heard my prayer. You rescued me. You had mercy on me. And so in verse number 1, he says, Lord, you lifted me out of the depths. You lifted me up. I was in the pit. I was sinking down. You lifted me up. My enemies were wanting to gloat over me, but Lord, you rescued me and you didn't let that happen. verse number 2, he says, Lord, you healed me. You healed me. I was sick. I was in trouble. You healed me. You brought rescue. In verse 3, he says, Lord, you brought me up out of the pit, out of the realm of the dead. Lord, you brought me up. You rescued me. In verse 11, he says, Lord, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth, which is a sign of mourning, a sign of lament. Lord, you removed my sackcloth and you clothed me with joy. In other words, God answered his prayer. He cried out to the Lord in distress, and God heard, and God answered. You rescued him. So now, what's his response? Number 5. Now, God, I praise you and thank you for your mercy. So he was proud. He was overconfident. The Lord brought trouble. What was his response to the trouble? Lord, I'm calling out to you for help. I'm calling out in distress. The Lord heard his prayer. The Lord answered his prayer. Now he's on the other side of that. Now what's his response? His response is praise. His response is thankfulness, which is why this is a hymn, a psalm of thankfulness. Yes, it mentions trouble. Yes, it mentions distress, but now he's on the other side of it. He's been rescued. He's been delivered. And now he's reflecting back on it, and he is thanking God for his help. And so in verse number 1, he says, Lord, I will exalt you. I will exalt you. How do you exalt the Lord? Well, in one way, you really can't, can you? I mean, the Lord is exalted. The Lord is high and lifted up. The Lord is the greatest being in the entire universe. He is infinite and perfect. And so in terms of, you really can't make God more than he already is. But you can exalt his name. You can glorify his name. You can ascribe praise to his name. And so he says, I will exalt you, Lord. In verse number 4, he says, I'm going to sing your praises. And he makes it a community thanksgiving. He makes it a call for all of the people to join him. In verse 4, he says, sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people, praise his holy name. And so here's my experience. God was merciful to me. Now all of you join with me in praising the Lord. In verse number 5, he talks about the Lord's compassion by reminding us that, yes, in the Lord's sovereign will, in his grand plan of things, God at times brings trouble into our lives. He does it for our good, but he reminds us of the Lord's compassion when he says that weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. There is joy on the other side of the weeping. This reminds me of something that the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 when he said, I'm persuaded that the sufferings, the troubles that we are going through now are nothing in comparison to the glory that will be revealed in the hereafter. Right now, for some of us, we're in a time of weeping in the night. We're in a time of weeping in the night. But I want you to know that joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Now, here's something that we have to wrestle with in a theology of suffering, a theology of God's plans. We have to wrestle with the fact that not all prayers like David's are answered in the exact same way that David's was. In verse number 2, he says, Lord, you healed me. So it seems that whatever temporal, earthbound trouble that David had, that God brought him out of that. God rescued him from that. But we know that in God's purposes, that doesn't always happen, does it? Sometimes the difficulty that we are going through is not resolved soon, at least in terms of our perspective. Sometimes the difficulty that we're going through isn't resolved in our lifetimes. but will only be resolved in glory. That's why Paul says, I'm convinced that the things, the sufferings that we're going through now, they're nothing in comparison to the glory, the weight of glory that awaits us in the future. Weeping for the night, but joy in the morning. We need an eternal perspective on that. Not just a this moment perspective, but we need an eternal perspective on that. Our God is compassionate. He says in verse number 12, God, my heart is going to sing your praises. Lord, I'm going to praise you forever. And so his response to the Lord's mercies, his response to the Lord's compassion is, Lord, I'm going to praise you now. I'm going to thank you now because you are good. What I want to do just for a few moments is I want to run back through these points through the lens of the gospel. Lord, I'm in trouble. Why? Because I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinner. And my sin is worthy of judgment. My sin is worthy of death, of condemnation. Before this awareness of my trouble, before the trouble came, or before my awareness of the trouble, before I knew that I was a sinner in danger of condemnation, guess what? I was proud and overconfident, wasn't I? I was proud and overconfident. Either I didn't think my sin was that bad, or I was overconfident in my own abilities and my own righteousness, my own ability to earn favor with God. But then the gospel came to me. The gospel came to us, and we saw that we were in fact in distress. We were in fact in trouble, that as long as we were outside of Christ, that God's wrath was remaining on us. And we were on the verge of sinking down into the pit, into the depths of Sheol, into the depths of hell itself. And so what does the gospel compel us to do? The gospel compels us to cry out to the Lord for help, doesn't it? The gospel, when we recognize that we're in trouble, that we are in eternal trouble, the gospel compels us to cry out to the Lord in the midst of our distress. And so we cry out to the Lord and we say, like that sinner in the temple, Lord, please be merciful to me, a sinner, beating on his chest in humility. And what does the Lord do? The Lord hears our prayer, doesn't he? The Lord hears our prayer. The Lord hears our cry. The Lord answers that call. And he brings mercy. So then, if that's our situation, if we've been in the trouble of being under the condemnation, under the judgment of God, and now God has made us aware that we are in trouble, and he has moved us to call out to him in the midst of our distress and say, Lord, please heal me, forgive me, rescue me. And the Lord has answered that. John 5:24, whoever hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life. He will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. So if you have cried out to the Lord in repentance and faith and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, that prayer is answered. And now what is our response? God, we praise you. We thank you. Our response should be the same as the response of David. Lord, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths. Right? I was in the depths of sin. I was in the depths of my own depravity. I was in the pit. I was sinking to the pit of hell. Lord, you lifted me up. I will exalt you. Our response should be the same as David. Lord, I will praise you. Sing, all of you people, all you faithful people of the Lord, sing praises to the Lord. Verse 12, my heart will sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forevermore. If we're a redeemed child of God, this should be our thinking every day of our lives. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth of repentance and mourning, and you clothed me with joy, so that I may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, I will praise you forevermore. May we, as God's people who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, may we praise God every day of our lives, in this life and in eternity. And if you are in the midst of an earthly trouble, if you are in the midst of a sickness, of a discouragement, of a financial difficulty, you're in the midst of a loss, whatever it is, cry out to the Lord. Cry out to Him. Reorient your perspective toward the Lord in hope and in praise. And the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. He is compassionate. His ways are not always our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His understanding is beyond our understanding. But He is faithful. And He is compassionate. And so may our orientation be that of the psalmist in praise and in thanksgiving, because the Lord is our deliverer. He is the one who lifts us up out of the depths. And so the main idea is really this: God is worthy of our eternal praise and thanks because He lifts us out of the pit. May God be praised and thanked. Let's bow in prayer today. Our Father, we thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. We thank you for your compassion that never fails. Lord, though we may be in a time of difficulty or trouble, Lord, we are thankful that you have been our rock, you have been our fortress. We can cry out to you in times of distress. Thank you, Lord, that you came and rescued us from the pit of our sin, from our being in danger of eternal judgment. Thank you, Lord, that you heard our cry and you had mercy upon us and you rescued us and set our feet upon a rock. And now we can be called your people, the children of God. And Lord, now we just desire to praise you and thank you because of all that you have done for us. So Lord, today and always, may we exalt your name. May we sing your praises from our hearts. May we lift up our voices strong and not be silent, because Lord, you are worthy. Thank you, Lord, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.